There's probably someone in your life or someone before in your life, a certain situation that was very difficult, maybe even impossible to handle the way that God would want you to handle and view that person.
But realizing that has helped me a lot in a pastoral role, be able to love people and have compassion on them, because people are just at different levels of maturity.
So where to go, where to always have a mission, always have a purpose, and even grow in that.
Yeah.
But you have to grow in grace.
Yeah.
And that's relying upon God. And talking about loving people who are hard to love, that's part of every believer's mission.
Hello, and welcome to the Purdue Podcast. We are so glad that you're here with us today. Grab a seat and make sure you share this, because we're going to have a great topic to discuss. What are we talking about
today? We're talking about loving people who are hard to love. Mm. So I was actually telling some people here on staff about our topic, and they really want to listen to it themselves.
Yeah, I'll probably go back and listen
to it. I think pretty much everyone watching this, listening to this right now, there's probably someone in your life or someone before in your life, a certain situation that was very difficult, maybe even impossible to handle the way that God would want you to handle and view that person. We're going to talk about how to love people that are hard to love. So this is going to be an awesome topic to discuss, but certainly share this with people.
Yeah.
We'd like to encourage you to subscribe.
or follow. Yeah.
And click that button to do that. But share this with someone too. This is a great mm-hmm. thing that you can just share just via text or an email to someone.
You know what I love to do? When there's a topic that I really like to study, I'll click the share button, copy the link, and then I'll text it to myself.
Oh,
and then that way I don't lose it.
You text a lot to me too.
I know, I do that too.
A good message, yeah. Or podcast, sermon.
But listen to this first before you find somebody to send it to.
Yeah.
Because it's going to really bless you.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be really powerful to talk about. So I'm just going to kind of dive into it here.
Yeah,
I was actually thinking of something that my dad, Pastor Lawson, mentioned yesterday. He was talking about Jesus, how he was full of grace and mm-hmm. truth. And in today's kind of society, a lot of people shy away from truth.
Yeah.
And they think that's more gracious, more kind, more loving, mm-hmm. but it really isn't.
Yeah.
If you shy away from the truth, and I see a lot of pastors do it, a lot of churches do it, a lot of believers do it, they're going to shy away from the truth because they think it's more loving, mm-hmm. but it actually isn't.
Yeah.
And
why is that?
Well, I was kind of thinking about this. So we brought this up,
yeah.
just how there's certain things that have happened here lately in the world and even are going on just on a daily basis in the world where there's clearly something that is good and clearly something that is evil. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people just won't. They just won't say it for what it is. They
yeah.
just try to gray everything. And you brought out this scripture that Paul talked about, how people would have a form of godliness, but they would deny the power thereof.
Yeah.
And whenever I've thought about that scripture, I've thought about different forms of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And there's actually several forms that takes. It's not just one thing. So to me, as a charismatic believer, I've always thought, well, it's, you know, Christians that deny the power of God, deny miracles, deny
yeah.
the baptism of the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues. And you might be watching that and you're not quite sure about that yourself. But
don't turn us off yet.
Yeah, don't turn us off yet. So that form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, it might be God showing me that there's other forms as well.
Yeah.
There's a religious spirit uh-huh. form. You know, and in Christ's day, there was a lot of people that had a religious spirit. They had forms of godliness.
Yeah.
But they denied Jesus,
yeah.
who was the power of God. They denied like the transformative heart of God for people, like that Jesus could love sinners and that they would receive him and put their faith in God and be completely transformed.
Mm-hmm.
So a religious spirit is like a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. But also the inability to just call something true or call something right or call something bad, call something evil, mm-hmm. harmful. Just this kind of, we're going to gray everything.
Yeah.
And try to do it in a super spiritual, super loving, super whatever way. But
yeah.
like, it's a form of godliness, but it denies the power. Like
yeah.
there's
it's
power
like
in truth.
Truth.
You shall
it's
know
like
the truth, and the truth shall
yeah.
set you free.
Yeah.
It's not the half truth. It's not the bent truth. It's not the truth that's convenient.
Yeah.
So truth and grace
go together
equals Jesus. Mm-hmm. And when people came to Jesus too, they might have been in a really ugly situation, living a really ugly life. And he would forgive them, heal them, free them, but he would say, stop doing this.
Yeah, go and sin no more.
Yeah, go and sin no more. Mm-hmm. So truth and grace, those walk hand in hand. So
I like what you actually just shared in staff meeting. We just had a staff meeting this mm-hmm. morning. You talked about grace is God's power, the power of God for, what, tell me.
It's the power of God
yeah.
to help you do what he's called you to do.
Yes.
And so, we're to go from grace to grace. So we're to always have a mission, always have a purpose, and even grow in that.
Yeah.
But you have to grow in grace.
Yeah.
And that's relying upon God. And talking about loving people who are hard to love, that's part of every believer's mission.
Yeah. That's the mission.
Yeah.
Is to love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Love God and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah, we're going to kind of talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
And it really starts with like knowing God and loving God. And
knowing his love for you even.
Yeah. And we actually shared along these lines recently to our youth. We had a record number of youth the other night. Mm-hmm. We had 74 students here on a Wednesday night,
yeah,
on a school
awesome.
Night. And a lot of kids were there for the very first time. And mm-hmm. I just felt really compelled right in the middle of worship to get up and just have them all pray a prayer of salvation, confess that Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
It was really powerful. I just really felt the Holy Spirit moving. So I didn't really ask. I said, we're all going to declare this. We're all going to believe this. We're all going to like shout this. And they did. And I knew there were a lot of newcomers there. I don't know where they're at, but I'm just like, I'm going to get everyone saved and I'll explain it to them later. And that's what we did. We actually explained salvation to them throughout the course of the night.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm going to have them pray right off the bat.
Yeah.
And at that age, some of those, you know, 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old, they're kind of confused with their own thinking.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to have them declare it.
Yeah.
And some of them already believe it. They need more understanding. I actually pictured a scene from a funny movie, Nacho Libre, right after I did this, because I didn't really, like, get their permission to get them all saved or pray this prayer, but I just made them all do it. But
well, ultimately, they do have to believe it in their heart.
Yeah, but in Nacho Libre.
Yeah. Tell me.
Nacho Libre.
I'll have to go back and watch
Yeah,
this
Nacho
movie.
Libre. So Nacho, he's like a priest or a monk, or he's a monk or something. But he's a luchador. He wants to be a wrestler, you know, one of these Mexican wrestlers that
With
wear
the
a mask.
Yeah.
And he wants to do it to help the orphans. It's a really funny movie.
Yeah.
It's a comedy. It's not spiritual at all. But anyways, he has a teammate. You know, and then they do tag team wrestling, and his teammate is not a believer.
Yeah.
And his teammate, and they both speak with kind of Mexican accents. It's kind of funny. So I'm not trying to sound racist or whatever, but his...
It's literally, it's the movie.
He gets this really like scrawny, homeless guy to be his, you know, teammate. And so Nacho tells him, I'm like, worried about your salvation and stuff.
I think his
homeless, scrawny, you know, wrestling mate says, I don't believe in God. I believe in science. And his like teeth are like all cavities. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, your atheism is like really helping your life. But anyways, Nacho just like gets a bucket of water and comes up with it.
Uh-huh.
And just grabs him by the head and just douses him in the water. Like, you must be baptized.
So he force saves him. Night?
Yeah, that's what I kind of did with our evangelical way. I'm just like, you're all gonna declare this right now. And but then we explained it to him, and I could tell, like, I know some of the students who are not so quite, they're
not quite there yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could tell like some of the lights are starting to flicker. And
yeah.
We actually talked, we just dove right in and said, there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
And there is eternity. You know, there's a part of every single person that is eternal. That's why everyone hates death. Everyone hates dying. Everyone hates, and when someone close to them dies, mm-hmm. it's very bothersome because there's a part of us that is eternal. We have an eternal spirit.
Yeah, your spirit knows.
Yeah, and your spirit's going to spend eternity somewhere.
Yeah,
and I took a long string and I passed it around, like, you know, all these students, and made a big circle with this string. And I said, eternity is like hard for us to wrap our brain around. But there's one way to have eternal life, and that's through Jesus. And mm-hmm. I said, you know, your life here, it's important. It matters. You know, if you live 80 years, 90, 100, 120, 31 years. Mm-hmm. And I just took like a little piece of tape and stuck it in the middle of this giant string. And I said, that's like your life in the scope of eternity. And you need to figure out who God is.
Yeah.
And you need to figure out what the truth is, and it matters. And there's a lot of opinions out there. Mm-hmm. And I even told them, you know, like, there's some opinions, there is a God, there is no God. You can't really tell if there's a God.
Science is your God.
Science is God. Allah is God. Buddha, Krishna, Marx, reason, your own conscience, mm-hmm. the government, personal feelings. A lot of people make an idol out of their feelings.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot.
Or just whatever is convenient. That's God. Convenience. Mm-hmm. Pleasure. All those are the wrong answer. No, there is one true God, and he does want us to know him. He loves us. Mm-hmm. And that's why he sent Jesus.
Yeah.
To put a face to who he was. And Jesus said this in John 17, verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. So I just tell them all, you know, there is a God. Mm-hmm. And he cares about you. He loves you. He wants a relationship with you. And we just got into this huge topic that's so important to understand in life. Mm-hmm. And to really just...
It's huge, but it's like, it's simple.
It's simple, but it's so huge. And mm-hmm. a lot of people don't even can't figure it out. And you think sometimes being a believer makes it easier, or being a pastor makes it easier to love people.
Oh, yeah. No.
And actually, I think you know, before I became a pastor, I was getting my doctorate in music. I was a very successful classical musician, mm-hmm. taught a lot of students, played with top musicians around the world. And sometimes it was easier to love like non-believers and worldly people. And
yeah, because you don't have the same expectations yeah. for the people that are not believers as you do for believers. But what I've learned being a pastor is that a lot of believers are just like the unbelievers, in that they're not renewing their mind. They're not in the Word. They're spending more time with the things of the world, whatever that may look like for them, which it might be, you know, too much TV, too much news, too much shopping, you know, the things of this world. Mm-hmm. But they're not in the Word. They're not content with
going to church.
They're not going to church. They're not, if they do go to church, sometimes they're not really involved in their church. Mm-hmm. And so, but realizing that has helped me a lot in a pastoral role, mm-hmm. be able to love people and have compassion on them, because people are just at different levels of maturity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You do a pretty good job about moving on from stuff when someone shows how immature they are. And you just say, that's just an immature thing.
You know why? Because I don't like living not happy.
Yeah.
I want to be happy. I want to have joy. I want to have a good day. And I don't want to be sitting around thinking about like all the people that have bothered me or hurt me or said things that I didn't agree with. I don't like that.
And you've just, in your upbringing, your life, you've experienced just
a few times.
Just people where you're going to have to forgive and love people even though...
And move on.
It's hard. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that's going to... It's going to change that person, but...
Yeah.
You're just doing what God's called you to do. Even when we first got married, so I'll just tell everyone this. Actually, next week, be sure to tune in next week because Heather's mom...
Yeah, my mom's going to be here.
Is going to be on the podcast. Yeah. Deborah.
Yep.
So Heather and Deborah.
Very much like the Deborah of the Bible, too.
This is really interesting, though. I actually, a couple months ago, I was asked to minister, preach, give a word to all the staff of Life Network here in Colorado Springs. So Life Network, it's the biggest ministry that supports, you know, women in crisis pregnancy mm-hmm. situations here in town. They have like several locations. Really awesome organization. And I think they had about 80, all the staff from all their locations were together. And I actually shared about your mom. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
As kind of an intro to my preaching to them. Yeah. And so Heather's mom, and she'll probably share some of her story next week.
She
as well.
Might not share this, though. I mean,
but
she...
She got pregnant with you before she was married.
Yeah, I think she was 19.
She was young and...
19 or 20.
was considering abortion.
Yeah, she was.
And it was actually your grandpa, her dad, who actually is a very
strong
Democrat, liberal. Doesn't go to church.
I would say he's more, he's more Democrat probably than he is.
Poppy Bob. And he's the one that told you, you're going to have this baby.
Yeah.
You're going to have, who knows.
You're going to do what's right.
Heather Perdue.
Yeah.
So God can use whoever he wants to help bring about his will.
Yeah, God showed me that, like, when you decide that you're not going to love somebody because they're hard to love, you're shutting the door on the power of God.
Yeah.
Like, you never know when that person can be an open door for you, for another.
But I was going to share this. You know, you were raised by your mom and your stepdad, Mike. And he was your dad and very much your dad.
Oh, yeah, he's very much my dad,
And I met your biological father just one time. And he passed away a few years ago, but I only met him one time and just had a lot of struggles. And even when we were first married, you felt like reaching out to him. And we kind of talked about it and you were kind of, God was just speaking to you.
Yeah.
How to love him.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was hard to love him because he wasn't there for you.
Yeah.
And we don't have to like go through all of that, but it's a very tough situation. And some people watching this, you might just have people in your life like that. They just weren't there for you. They abandoned you. They hurt you. And you didn't deserve that.
Yeah.
And God didn't want that to happen to you.
Right.
But it just did because this is an imperfect
world.
We
live in the world. Yeah. We don't live in heaven.
Mm-hmm. And, You wanted to just do something kind to your father.
Yeah, I think we should like go back just a little bit because I feel like this might help some people. So when we first got engaged, we were talking about him because I was trying to figure out, do I want him to walk me down the aisle with Mike, who's my stepdad, who's very much my dad, and I did that when I was married before, but my dad had a lot of struggles. Like we said, he was very much, an alcoholic and into other things. And it seemed like when I involved him, I was helping him do a whole lot, you know? And I hadn't talked to him in a while, and I just felt like it would be really uncomfortable. And so the reason why I'm sharing this is because sometimes there are people, they have parents that maybe they're kind of in the same boat and they're trying to figure out, how far do I reach out to these people? How far do I go? Well, the answer to that is you just need to be led of the Lord. And you don't need to compare. Your situation is going to be different because people are different, right? Like, so your parents are going to be different than my parents. So I'm not going to tell you do or don't do this. But for me, I just decided, I think I'm just not going to do that. So I didn't have him walk me down the aisle. I just had my stepdad, who is my dad, do that. And it was fine. And my dad, my biological dad, he wasn't upset. He didn't get mad at me. But I felt bad. But I think that's just because, you know, he's my dad too. And there's a part of you, the Spirit of God in you, who doesn't want bad for anyone. But sometimes other people's mistakes don't need to bleed into your life. Sometimes it's okay to have a boundary there. And then a year or two later, it might have been like two, I think it was 2023. We got married in 2019. So a few years later, I wanted to reach out to him. And it was close to his birthday, and I still hadn't talked to him. Had I talked to him since then?
I think
did you meet him after we got married?
The one time I met him was...
Was at after we
granny,
got married?
Granny phase.
Funeral. So, okay, so that was after we got married. So that was a little awkward for me. I remember thinking, because I'm like, I didn't even call him and have him walk me down the aisle
and
here.
Is your grandma. So that was his closest person.
Was my grandma. Really, like, took care of him.
Yeah.
But, so you met him at my grandma's funeral. Yeah. And then
you preached that funeral.
I did. I preached at her funeral.
And we took Ada to Nashville, to Tennessee.
We're not getting into all that. That's a big, long story. We're not talking about that today.
She's
but anyway, so we So anyway, after that, I felt like God put it on my heart to reach out to him, and it was around his birthday. And he told me to send him a birthday card with a little encouraging message and some gift cards.
That's what God told you?
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
You said he told me. I didn't know if you meant.
Oh, anyway, yeah, yeah. God told me, yeah, that I should reach out to him and send him a message. Just tell him that I love him, give him a card, and send him something for his birthday. And so I did. And he texted me when he got it. And he was like, thank you. You know, your granny would always send me birthday cards. But that was it. It was like super short conversation. I thought it would spark up more of a conversation, but it didn't. So I'm thinking.
I think I told you too, if you are going to reach out and send him something, don't expect something in return.
Like, just when you give to someone, you just do it.
Yeah,
you just do it. Do it because you love people.
Yeah, but don't expect kindness or.
Yeah, because if you're expecting it and you don't get it, you're going to be tempted to have a bad attitude about it. And
yeah.
That's not good. So, but he texted me and told me he got it and thank you. And, you know, granted, it really meant a lot to him, I could tell. But that was kind of the end of it.
Yeah.
And then the following year, I don't think I talked to him again after that. The following year, he passed away that right after Thanksgiving. We were on our way home. Mm-hmm. How much of this did you want me to share?
You can share as much as you want. So he had been having some health issues.
Yeah, he
had
been.
I think your aunts and uncles.
My aunts and uncle.
His three siblings.
Yeah. Had been kind of taking care of him and keeping me in the loop, but nobody really expected him to die at that moment. But anyway, they had told me he passed away around that November, and my sister went to clean up his house. And on his refrigerator, he had my card, and he had like it all posted up with all of his magnets, like all of his magnets. It was really powerful when they sent me that. And my card opened up where you could see the scripture and the prayer and all of that just laid out on the fridge. And in his house, he had like, you know, he struggled a lot. There were cigarettes, ashtrays, liquor bottles, pill bottles, like all the things. But in there in the middle of it was my card with the word of God on it. And it was so powerful. Don't cry. You're going to make me cry. I'm not going to do it. But so what we're trying to get to you, the message to us is, to you guys, is that you really, loving people is a choice. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take the power of God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit working through you to be able to love people that are not easy to love. And I'm so thankful that I was obedient to what God wanted me to do. And when I was doing it, I didn't think it was like a big thing. I didn't think it was a big thing to send somebody a card with a scripture and a prayer. But it, you know, these little acts of love, because it's not kindness, it's love. Mm-hmm. It's really powerful. And we have to remember as the body of Christ how powerful the love of God is. Mm-hmm. And God is love. And so when you choose to walk in love, that is God exemplified through you.
Yeah. And there's a lot of situations where
there are
just people in your life. It's really hard,
super hard to love.
And it might be a child that's just awful to you, or your spouse.
I know, and you know what? There, it's a trending thing right now to cut your parents off. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about. It's a trending thing to cut your parents off. But I want to exhort you to spend some time praying in the Holy Spirit, praying to God, getting His wisdom, seeking His wisdom on how to handle your parents, how to handle your grandparents, how to handle your adult kids, if you have adult kids. I don't believe that it's God's best to cut people off. And I'm not saying let yourself be abused.
Yeah, you should have. I
had a boundary.
Yeah.
You have to have wisdom. But I really feel like if we would stop cutting people off, God would show us how to how to be strong in those situations, and also how to be a testimony to people. At the end of the day, here's what God told me. At the end of the day, people's decisions don't have to affect me. Mm-hmm. I mean, ultimately, if they get violent towards me and they kill me, that's going to affect me quite a bit. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like, just certain people's attitudes and the words that they say to you If you have a family member that said some terrible things to you, guess what? That's their opinion. Mm-hmm. Don't get wrapped up in finding your identity through other people's opinions. Find your identity through the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Find out what God says about you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not the end of the world. People are going to have their own takes, their own opinions, they're going to say terrible things, but really, it doesn't matter what they think of you. Mm-hmm. And God's been telling me specifically, Heather, just worry about yourself. Meaning, don't get too tied up in what other people say and what other people do. Because God is, He's my God. Mm-hmm. He's going to help me through life.
Yeah. So, and every single person is going to be forced to love someone that's hard to love.
Yes. If you're not, I'm wondering, what are you doing?
And it's true to... In a variety of relationships. It might be in your family. It might be in your neighborhood. It might be at work.
Yeah.
It might be at your church, you know. But I think it's a really important topic to talk about how to do this. And well, Jesus had a lot to say about it, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I just, you know, right now with all the things that the thing that just happened with Charlie Kirk, mm-hmm. and the way Christians are responding the way that even I responded out of anger at first. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't talk about this, then I wonder if you're even born again. You know, that wasn't right of me to do that. But sometimes when we're grieving, we're up against a lot of emotions at mm-hmm. first, and we're trying to figure out, how do I get through this? Well, it's through leaning into God's love. Mm-hmm. Because I really feel like if Christians would really grab a hold of what's important during this hour, man, the difference it would make. Like, if we would get out of the comment section, all the people, God was telling me, you know, people are saying hideous and heinous things about Charlie Kirk and what, you know, he's a Nazi, like he's racist, like all these things. Who cares what they think? Mm-hmm. It does not matter what they think. And I feel like God was telling me, if people would just lean into the Lord and they would pray and say, Lord, how do you want to use me in this situation, instead of getting distracted by all of the negativity, all of the demonic things that people are saying? Just don't pay attention to it, yeah. You know?
And talking about loving people who are hard to love, like, Jesus is the greatest example.
He is.
Of this. Mm-hmm. And really what's helped me learn how to love people and let things go and just forgive and move on, you really have to lean into your relationship with God.
Yeah.
100%. And your vertical relationship with God will be reflected in your horizontal relationship with
people. Like, overflows.
It'll overflow. And mm-hmm. it'll be a natural thing.
Yeah.
It'll flow from your spirit. It might grate against your flesh, against your just raw emotions, your raw, you know, I want to give them what they deserve type thing. But, you know, when you love God, you'll be able to flow in that more.
Yeah.
It'll be a more natural flow. I was thinking about something God actually told me when you and I stepped into the role as youth pastors a year and a half ago. So I've been pastoring for 9 years, and you have been promoted here at the church and doing more, like overseeing the worship ministry and having a little bit more of an administrative role over some of the ministry areas of the church, like as an executive pastor. And when we're going to start doing youth, God told me two things.
What?
And so first of all, you told me to pour myself out as a drink offering.
That's fun, huh?
Yeah. Sometimes God tells you things that aren't like, you're amazing, you're the best. You're like,
how about you're going to die to self?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Actually, in a few days, Andrew Womack's actually going to have lunch at our house. Mm-hmm. And Heather, you use that as an opportunity. And we do it once a year. He preaches at our church, and our house is kind of close to the church. So we have him and my parents over for lunch. But Heather will ask him some kind of pointed questions. But Heather's a great cook, Southern. You know, we want to have a good meal. And he kind of watches what he eats. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, God told me I'm a glutton. You know, and he really hears from God. So it's kind of interesting when people are very just frank and honest. And so God just told me some very blunt things. Like, you are to pour yourself out as a drink offering. And number two, you're not to hold a grudge. Mm-hmm. Against any of my children.
Yeah.
And this actually connects to something I'm going to say here. But Jesus was asked, you know, what is the greatest commandment? Mm-hmm. So this is a huge question.
Yeah.
Very, and I love thinking about deep things, and so it's a huge doctrinal question, and it's Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40. So they come to him and say, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind." You know, it's also all your strength.
Mm-hmm.
And all these words are very deep words. I even like looked them up in the Greek, and and it's hard to like heart, soul, mind, strength.
Yeah,
it's not so clear. It's just everything within you, basically.
Yeah,
your entire essence is to love God. And he said, "This is the first and greatest commandment, but this is huge. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself."
Mm-hmm.
On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. You know, and when Jesus, when he died on the cross, he really fulfilled the law and the prophets.
Yeah.
He fulfilled, you know, I love the Father. I'm going to do his will, even when it's against my emotions
flesh,
and flesh and my very, you know, survival instinct. But I'm also going to love people. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they
mm-hmm.
do. So he fulfilled all the law and prophets. So that second commandment that Jesus added on to there, it's actually half of a verse. The second is, like, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Everyone knows that. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
That's the average person out there, even non-Christians, have probably heard that. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
Treat others the way you want to be treated. That's actually half of a verse that's from Leviticus 19:18. So Leviticus, really cool book. It's actually one of my favorite books in the Bible.
Which is wild.
I know. And I remember when we were married, first married.
Uh-huh.
We're still married. When we were married, we're still married. When we were first married, you were actually completing Bible school.
Yeah.
And you're required to read through the Bible in a year,
mm-hmm.
like cover to cover. And I remember in Leviticus, you kind of struggled just going through it because it's just a lot of blood.
Yeah.
Sacrifice for this, sacrifice for that.
Yeah.
Kill two pigeons, kill.
Yeah, kill all the things.
Kill all the things. But in Leviticus, I there's a lot of really great stuff because a lot of it points to Jesus.
Yeah.
And a lot of it points to me as a pastor. I've actually gotten a lot of really great insight and revelation from Leviticus. So the law is iterated two times in the Old Testament, two times in the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
The five books of Moses, the law is iterated twice. It's first in Leviticus, the law is iterated. And it's primarily iterated to the Levites, the priests,
mm-hmm.
the pastors. How are they to carry out the law?
Yeah.
Deuteronomy, deuter means like a reiteration, like duet two. So it's a reiteration of the law, but it's more for how it applies to everybody,
oh.
not just the priests. So there's some interesting differences
between the two.
Yeah. It's like an amendment to the law.
Yeah.
And you actually see some grace amendments in Deuteronomy.
Oh.
It's really interesting to notice where the differences are and what is being differentiated.
Mm.
Because it points to Jesus even more. But Leviticus, God's given me a lot of just great insight and to help me be a pastor, be a Levite in, you know, in the New Testament sense.
Yeah.
So God spoke to me from this verse, Leviticus 19:18. It says, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord."
Mm.
I love how he adds at the end of that, "I am the Lord." So you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge. To hold a grudge. And I've seen this in ministry where people, they hold a grudge.
Yeah.
Against someone that just was disrespectful, dishonoring.
I love that it says the children of my people.
The children of my people.
That's so like spot on, huh?
Yeah. And that just helped me right off the bat. Because I remember right off the bat.
I know you were wanting to go Old Testament dad on everybody.
And some of them needed some strong direction.
Yeah, but we talked about this. They're with us for, 2 hours on a Wednesday night?
Yeah.
We're not the ones.
No.
Yes, we are to, like, spiritually help guide them.
Yeah.
But we're not their parents.
No.
So, like, that was, I'm sure that set you free to
to
read that.
Yeah, to not take things personal.
Yeah.
But also just keep loving, keep preaching, keep
Yeah.
Be an example.
Like, stay on track.
Stay on track. Don't get distracted.
Yeah.
But not holding a grudge, you know, how powerful that is. And just trusting God, too. Mm-hmm. When I was I just finished my master's degree. I was 24 years old. I remember that I wanted to get vengeance and justice, like, this moment in my life more than anything. And I was 24. I just finished my master's degree at Rice University in Houston. And I didn't know what I was going to do for sure. I was going to take auditions and start applying for doctorate programs. So I was going to have at least a year off, mm-hmm. where I was just going to kind of freelance.
Figure things out. Just
teach
chill.
Lessons. Yeah. And so when I finished my master's there in Houston, I felt like, hey, I'm gonna believe God that I'm going to pay off all my student loan debt in a year. Mm. It wasn't a huge amount, but it was substantial. It was $30,000.
That's a lot to pay off in a year.
Especially when you don't, and you don't have a job.
Yeah.
And you just kind of know how you can barely survive and barely pay rent and barely afford ramen to eat.
Oh, gosh.
So that's where I was at. But I'm like, you know, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust Him for this. And that summer after I finished my master's, I actually went to Breckenridge, Colorado to play with an orchestra there for a few months, for 2 months. And I was away for 3 months, and I subleased my apartment there in Houston for 3 months. And I even had a handwritten contract with this woman I found on Craigslist who was going to sublease my apartment. And, you know, she paid me the first month, which was $650, the rent. Mm-hmm. Pretty amazing rent for a one-bedroom apartment. So she paid me the $650 up front, but then in the contract, you know, she's going to pay me the next $650 and then the next $650. So another $1,300 is going to come in.
Yeah.
Well, after the first month, she contacted me and said, there's bugs in here, in this apartment. And I just said, well, contact the apartment manager. It's Houston, Texas. There's bugs everywhere. There's, like, flying cockroaches. And it's one of the buggiest cities in the country. And I said, well, talk to the apartment manager and they'll take care of it. I think she was kind of just being ridiculous, but because I lived there several years and didn't have any issues.
Yeah.
But the apartment manager said, well, we'll get an exterminator, but she's like very against that. She didn't want any kind of chemicals or whatever in the apartment. So what she ended up doing, she ended up just moving out, took my furniture, threw it away. I don't know what she did, but I came back. And I couldn't do anything about it. She took all the furniture, so I couldn't find another, like, person to take over the lease and live there and give me some money.
Yeah.
I was really set back. And I was, like, really believing God to pay off this debt. Now I'm, like, down $1,300 from where I thought I would be.
Yeah, and y'all got to know this about Pastor Aaron, that he does not like being ripped off.
No.
There is one thing that will rock your, you know, boat. As far as, like, don't seek vengeance on someone, mm-hmm. is when someone rips him off.
Yeah.
Man, the gloves want to come off.
And I think...
it's, like, bad.
So when I moved back, I was ready to go...
Find this lady.
Find her, take her to court, like, small
Judge
claims.
Judge Judy.
I was looking up how to do this. Judge Judy. I had my handwritten contract.
But you didn't.
And I really stewed over it and fumed over it. And
oh, I'm sure. Thank God we weren't married.
For probably about a week. Probably about a week.
Oh, my gosh.
And I waited till I got back to fume over it because I had to do stuff.
Yeah.
I had to play. I had to
had things
do
to
my
do.
Job. I had mm-hmm. things to do. So I waited. So I put it on the shelf. When I get back to Houston, this is going to be the purpose of my existence.
I'm going to get this lady.
Is to seek justice. And I was just, for probably about a week, really fuming over this and really upset. And I just felt God told me to just let it go.
Mm. I'm sure you definitely just wanted to let
and
it
you,
go.
And you
too.
Know me.
Did you want to
and
let it go?
This is the 24-year-old me. I'm 38
I
now.
Know. I could only imagine.
So I did not want to let it go.
I bet.
But I did. With gritted teeth, but I still did. You know, the Bible says if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land.
That's right.
I wasn't willing, but at least I was obedient.
Yeah.
And eventually my will kind of caught up.
Yeah.
But at first I wasn't. And I remember I didn't even have a bed to sleep on.
That's wild.
I was sleeping on an air mattress. That's the only thing I had in my apartment. And here I am, like, just finished my master's degree, like, no job. I was actually in a serious relationship for 4 years, engaged even, and that just ended around the same time too, which ended up being a good thing.
Yeah.
But just at a very low point, and I was just reading through my Bible on my air mattress and just came across this account in Genesis 14 where Abram had gotten back all these goods, and, you know, like, his nephew Lot was taken captive. He brought everything back, and he encountered this priest, the priest king of Salem, named Melchizedek. And Melchizedek blessed him and said, you know, you're blessed by the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And that word just connected with my heart. And I was just in my apartment, like, just broke, you know, not feeling like I had much talent.
Yeah.
Career-wise, and
like everything, financially, everything. Relationally,
career-wise, emotionally,
like all of it.
But I had let that.
Thank God for the word.
And I think just maybe a couple of days before, I decided to just let that one situation go where I was wronged.
Yeah.
And I just,
you let that go, and then God spoke to you.
I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there's a certain order of events.
Yep.
But God, it was a word to my heart.
Yeah.
And I just knew I was blessed,
yeah,
by God, and that didn't matter what my bank account or my relationship or my jobs or that I just had an air mattress. Like, I just knew that I was blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly after, I just decided I'm gonna just try to find some free furniture on Craigslist. Craigslist is not really a thing now. It's like Facebook Marketplace now, but
right.
Then it's Craigslist. And there's a a free section on Craigslist. So I thought, I'm just going to try to get some free furniture. And I got a free bed. I got a free desk, a free futon. And I started, you know, getting some more students. And I would look at like garage sales, like moving sales, when people are moving away.
Mm-hmm.
And Houston's a very diverse city. People from all around the world there. And like, so people are moving to different countries and can't take all their stuff with them. So I'd go,
yeah.
I got like a free vacuum, free house plants. And someone was moving and having a moving sale. And I saw they had like a watch for sale. And I thought, oh, that's kind of neat. That looks like a nice watch. And I looked it up, and I had just a tiny bit of money. And I thought, well, I'll try to buy this watch from this person. They're asking $200. I thought, I'll try to get it for $100.
Yeah.
And they'd already sold it once I contacted. They said, I don't have any more. But I got on eBay and saw, yeah, that particular watch would sell for around $200. But every now and then there'd be an auction where it went off for $100. So I eventually got a watch for $100.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I'll just wear this. But hey, maybe I'll just sell it on Craigslist for $200.
Mm-hmm.
And that very first package I got, the very first watch I ordered, it actually got stolen out of my mailbox.
So I was kind of bad luck.
Yeah. And I got really mad.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you got ripped
like
off
being,
again.
So,
man, the devil knows how to push your buttons, doesn't he?
I got really mad, and I ended up buying two.
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna make my money back. I'm not gonna be in the hole on this thing. So
yeah.
I ended up buying two more for $100 each, and I sold one for $200, and the other one was taking a little bit longer to sell. And I remember the exact watch actually.
I'm sure you do.
This is the third watch I ever purchased.
You like watches.
It was a gold-plated Movado watch. Like, all gold,
yeah.
Looking, kind of beat up. But I remember I went to church, and I just, like, raised my hand on a Sunday morning. And I said, whatever my hand touches is blessed.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Deuteronomy 28. And I ended up selling that one for $250. And
that was the beginning of your,
yeah, and I kept doing it, and within a year's time I was actually buying and selling 100 watches a month, and on average making $100 per watch. So I was making $10,000 profit a month.
That's awesome.
And And I still do it some.
Yeah.
But I've gone into a higher end, you know, like last week I bought a watch for $6,000 and then sold it for $9,500. Set your fees. I made about $3,000 on it just on one thing. Cause I've done it so much. I just,
it's like
practicing the flute. Once you,
well, you've been doing it. Once how many
you do
years?
It a lot.
How
I've
many?
Done it like since I was 24 and I'm 38 now. So 14 years.
Yeah.
So when you've done something so much, you just get
there's
good
a whole
at
message
it.
In that.
There is.
Mm-hmm. But we're not going to, get off track here.
No.
But anyway, what was the point?
The point of this is it all started by letting go of a grudge.
Oh yeah, letting go of a grudge. And
yeah,
God
and, I,
bless
and I'll
you.
Tell I'll tell you this. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of this.
So I'm gonna remind
rabbit
you
hole.
Next time you get ripped off, I'm gonna remind you of this.
Well, this is why God says vengeance is mine.
Yeah.
Because he and the person that's in the wrong, mm-hmm. you can't see what's going on.
No.
And actually, this is kind of interesting, but a couple years later in my apartment there in Houston, like underneath a drawer, it had like fallen out of the drawer into the cabinetry,
mm-hmm.
but there was these pamphlets on being pregnant. Mm. And I think that woman that had rented my apartment had gotten pregnant. Mm. And
was just scared and didn't
scared
know what to
and
do.
And it makes sense. She didn't want her
to be
fumigated and... So that's why God didn't want me to just go, give me my $1,300 and blast her.
Yeah, because you would have felt bad.
Yeah, so you don't always know what's going on, but God does. Mm-hmm. And when you give things to him, he's going to pay you back.
Oh, yeah, he repays.
And that's what he did for me, you know, and that whole watch thing and getting out of debt, and it's turned into more, you know. There's a snowball effect. There's a momentum of blessing when you keep following God, you keep letting things go, you keep loving, you keep, it generates momentum.
Yes.
And even when I finished my doctorate, I had enough money saved up from doing the watch thing that I was able to buy a house here. And that very first house, I bought it for a great deal and sold it and made a huge profit on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and was able to buy a house for you when we got married.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a momentum that's generated, but you look and see what started that snowball effect, and really I think it was me just letting that go and trusting God.
Well, yeah, that's what I was about to say, was that you can't let it go if you don't believe that God is going to repay you or help you, mm-hmm. or if he's the one going to take care of you. It's a lot, like God's really been showing me how many things are tied back to just fear. Mm. And how anger is also tied to fear. How vengeance is tied to fear. It's fear. If I don't take care of it, who's going to take care of it? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm
saying?
And
fear is the opposite force to faith.
Yep. And faith works by love.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how much God loves you and how much God is going to take care of you, wants to take care of you, then it's going to be impossible.
Yeah. I want to talk about these three things, too. Is that okay?
Yeah, but also I want to say this. Would you say it's like the force that comes against you, even now, 14 years later after that happened, when you get ripped off now or feel like you're getting ripped off now, that feeling that tries to rise up in you that I need to take care of this instead of letting God, is that still as loud as it used to be? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like,
I don't think so.
You think it's gotten easier to just let God handle things?
But it still does bother me. Like, I remember you thought you'd lost an AirPod.
Oh, yeah. An Apple tried to
ruin an Apple. Yeah. So you lost an AirPod. So you contacted Apple to get a replacement AirPod, which is
I've really helped you
like
grow in this area.
It's like $100. And right after we ordered it, we found the missing AirPod.
Yeah, it was in my pocket.
It was like an hour later. So we contacted Apple to try to get
a refund.
Just stop.
And they said, we don't refund.
Like, we for this, whatever reason, this is like a loop. Like
the loophole.
The black hole
of
that company is the one AirPod thing.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way to return it, no way to cancel the order, no way to do anything.
No way to get a refund. You just have that extra AirPod.
You call them, and they just put you in the loop of talking to people that can't do anything.
Look, I can tell it bothers you even now. So, but what I'm, but my point in even bringing that up is that it is a choice every single time, a choice not to be led by your flesh, and to forgive and not hold a vengeance and to love people.
And I still have a little bit of a grudge against Apple, but I still bought you a brand new phone this weekend.
Yeah,
from
you did.
Apple.
So that was good.
So I've.
So you're moving along.
Yeah.
Okay. Now your 3 points. You said.
Yeah. And these all tie to love.
Yeah.
And how to love people when it's really
difficult.
Hard to. And these three things are super important. Just incredibly important. Forgiveness.
Yes.
And like holding a grudge, that's unforgiveness.
It is, yeah.
It's just, it is what it is.
Not going to sugarcoat
it. And sometimes
it.
Sometimes people sugarcoat it and say, well, I'm just into justice. I'm into what's right. But it's a selfish thing.
Yeah.
And holding on to unforgiveness, this is a great way to think about it. And you might have heard this before, too, but it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Just holding on to unforgiveness. And I love what Paul writes in Ephesians 4:32, and I'm going to read through chapter 5, verse 2. He says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for his sweet-smelling aroma. And it's interesting that God told me, hey, you are to be a drink offering. And really, I picture like Jesus, he said, I'm going to be a drink offering. He's talking about his crucifixion.
Yeah.
God was just telling me, hey, if you're going to do well in ministering to these students, it's not going to be about you. You're going to have to crucify just yourself.
Yeah.
You have to take up your cross and follow me.
Crucify your expectations.
And again, that's not something that you hear like preached at every, you know, all the time in the American church today is like take up your cross daily.
A lot of people think taking up their cross. I see a lot of people talk about this when they're sick, when they're dealing with some kind of disease or sickness or like physical difficulty. That is not what this is talking about.
No.
Jesus bore our sickness, bore our sin, bore our disease, bore our guilt, bore our shame.
Forgiving people is when it's hard. Or the loving people
suffering,
when it's hard.
The suffering that's talked about in the Bible is that if you have ever tried to do what the Word says, there is a piece of you that does not want to do that. And I've had to forgive people. I've had to just ignore some things. I've had to be patient. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, that wars against your flesh. Your flesh, it can get easier for your flesh to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, but sometimes it does feel much like suffering. Because sometimes you really just want to, you really want to get after somebody or something, but your flesh suffers when you choose to do what the Word says. But the thing is, the payoff is so great. God's reward for you being obedient to the Word is so great that it far exceeds any kind of suffering that your flesh might endure for a small period of time. You know?
That's really good. I love that we can just be imitators of God as dear children. So just imitate Jesus. You know, you don't have to know exactly how to do it. Like how can I love someone who's hard to love? But this is something I learned as a classical musician, is that the best musicians, the best composers, the best creators, they're the best imitators. There's actually a very famous composer. I actually think he got the quote. I looked up the quote. He got it from an artist, Picasso. So Picasso has said this apparently, but Igor Stravinsky, very famous composer from the 1900s, 20th century. Igor Stravinsky said, the best artists don't borrow, they steal. So you don't have to know how to forgive. Just picture Jesus and do what Jesus did. And he's actually, that's how he's spoken to me and helped me before too. Like, not too long ago, I felt like I dealt with one of the toughest betrayals that I've gone through. And God told me, forgive, move on. And he said, you know, and it was a very humiliating type betrayal. Mm-hmm. And
what's so funny is that you said like a while back, you know, I don't care about money. I don't care about all the things that I get in life. I care about my name. Mm-hmm. Because what did you say about that? My reputation is worth way more.
Yeah, it's even a proverb that your name is worth more than riches and gold and silver.
And that's so funny because it wasn't too long after you had said that when this attack that
someone
you're talking about.
My name, my reputation.
Yeah. And so for you to have to forgive in that.
Yeah. And I think I even told you, like, we have a really nice house and it's pretty much paid for. It's like a $1 million house. And I said, my name is worth more than this house.
Yeah.
And this is very interesting.
And when something's really that valuable to you, when the enemy comes against it, mm-hmm. your first instinct is to want to protect that, to mm-hmm. want to fix that yourself, to want to seek justice yourself.
Defend yourself.
To defend yourself. But really, you have to let the Lord be your defender mm-hmm. every single time.
And he works things out.
He does.
And it all comes down to your relationship with him trusting him. Mm-hmm. But he told me this, too, and just dealing with the raw emotion of that situation, just to picture Jesus on the cross.
Yeah.
And think about his humiliation.
Oh, yeah.
Think about him.
His reputation.
His reputation, his name, his just being on the cross, being spat on. And
even today, people still try to run
down
his reputation.
Slandering him.
Yes.
And he took that. Mm-hmm. You know, all the things he took on the cross. I like that you mentioned that taking up the cross does not talk about sickness, which is really true because Jesus
already took up that cross.
On the cross for our...
Yes.
Sickness. Mm-hmm. You know, by his stripes, we are healed. Mm-hmm. So forgiveness is huge. All this flows out of that love when you're really understanding that God's love for you and how it flows with other people.
Yeah.
Forgiveness, that door is unlocked. Mm-hmm. Some of you might struggle with forgiveness. Mm-hmm. When you really flow with how much God loves you and
everything he's
how
done
that affects
for
other
you.
People. Yeah. And I can love my neighbor as myself and not hold a grudge mm-hmm. and not seek vengeance, and he is the Lord.
Yeah.
That forgiveness is just going to flow. It's not going to be like you have to study 100 different ways to be able to forgive someone. It's mm-hmm. just going to be your new flow. Mm-hmm. Kindness. Kindness is a huge thing, actually. I was talking to my dad. We were just sitting at one of Fisher's baseball games, and we were just talking about all the spiritual laws we could think of, like in Scripture. But there is a law of kindness.
Yeah.
And it's mentioned in Proverbs 31 about this awesome woman of God.
Yeah.
And this applies to many of the things to men of God as well. But Proverbs 31:26 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. It's how powerful that is.
Yeah.
Just the things that you say mm-hmm. have life. They have power. It can also be death. Mm-hmm. But I'm only going to speak life to people.
Yeah.
I'm going to have this law of kindness. And whatever proceeds from my mouth is wisdom. It's not just foolishness.
Yeah.
But a law of kindness. Just how powerful that is. And I've noticed, like, some people, kindness is very different than being nice.
Yeah.
Nice, it's like you're only doing it because there's some ulterior motive. Mm-hmm. But kindness, like, it expects nothing in return.
Yeah.
Like when you reached out to your dad, mm-hmm. You weren't just trying to be nice, but it was an act of kindness, genuine kindness. Mm-hmm. And the things that proceeded from your mouth that you wrote down, it all flowed. It was wisdom, and it was that law of kindness. Mm-hmm. You didn't name all the list of things he did wrong as a person or wrong to you or... It was extremely kind, but kind is so spiritual too. It's not just.
Well, that's the law.
And it's
of
so
kindness.
Powerful because like as hard as his life was, that he put that up in the middle of his whole place.
Yeah.
And that actually brought a lot of comfort to you even after he passed.
Mm-hmm. It did because you know you're always kind of wondering when you're estranged.
What did they believe? Where were they spiritually?
Well, when you're estranged from someone, especially if it's like a parent or a family member. You're always kind of wondering, did I do the right thing? Mm-hmm. Like, even though I felt like I was in wisdom and, you know, not really reaching out to him. I now looking back, I kind of wish I would have reached out to him more. But, I mean, that's the past. I'm not going to go back there. But to see that he took that and, like, it was literally the word of God in the middle of a huge mess. Mm-hmm. And how many times he must have went to his refrigerator and saw that, saw mm-hmm. the word of God mm-hmm. on his freezer. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Jeremiah 29:11 mm-hmm. that I had put up there. And every time in the middle of his mess, he would see the word of God. Like, that's amazing to me. And it just also reminds me how powerful the word of God is on our lips mm-hmm. and in our handwriting when we write out notes to people or whatever. And like you said, it's a law. It's a spiritual law of kindness.
It's a spiritual law. It's a deep, deep thing.
Yeah. It cuts through the garbage.
So when you're flowing with this supernatural love of God, you know, forgiveness will be there, kindness.
Yeah.
But also peacemaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, and there's a difference between peacemaking and just
peacekeepers.
Being a pacifist.
Peacekeeper is a pacifist.
Peacekeeper, yeah.
A peacemaker is
it's
one
different.
That, yeah.
But I would contrast a peacemaker with a troublemaker.
Oh, yeah.
You know, are you causing troubles? Are you always there just for the drama? Like, whenever there's trouble going on, I'm just going to get my popcorn out.
Or are
gossip
you,
and,
yeah, are you withholding the truth? Are you withholding the word of God because you want to keep the peace?
Mm-hmm.
Because a peacemaker brings the truth of the word.
And
but
that love, that's truth and grace.
It's truth and
grace. Peacemaking is truth and grace. Yeah. Whereas some people who are just peacekeepers.
But you have to be led. I like what you said, truth without grace. Or I guess your dad said
he's
it.
A, truth Sunday. Without grace is
law. Or also
which brings
mean.
Death. Mean.
Yeah.
And grace without truth, it's
lawlessness.
Lawlessness. It's truth and grace
that
equals
go together.
Jesus equals mm-hmm. life. Peacemaker, you know, Matthew 5:9, this is in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God.
Yeah.
That's really powerful.
That is powerful.
That's pretty much everything I have to share.
That was good.
I think it's good. I think it's going
to
help a lot of people
me.
Because there yeah. are, everyone deals with that at some point in their life on some level.
If you're not dealing with that with a person, like someone close to you, be prepared to be this person out in the public or on social media, because I really feel like a strong sense as a pastor that we should really encourage believers, the body of Christ, to really start walking this out, because I feel mm-hmm. like we're in a pivotal time of revival right now
mm-hmm.
where we can really minister to people that we think could never be ministered to.
And that truth and grace
yes.
combo.
Is powerful.
That God's kind of love to people.
Yeah.
That's what brings eternal life. That's what brings Jesus. That's what brings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Truth and grace.
That's what brings a good life.
And loving
really.
People who are hard to love.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so good. Well,
awesome.
I think we're out of time.
Yeah. So again, I know a lot of you guys were blessed by what we had to share today. So be sure to subscribe.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about being able to walk this out by knowing how much God loves you and building your relationship with God. And we want to tell you that on this YouTube channel, on the Charis Christian Center YouTube channel, we have loads of teaching to help you build your relationship, your personal relationship with Jesus. So just click the playlist tab. Mm-hmm. You can go in there. You can see all different types of topics. Just ask the Lord which one you want to dive into.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he's going to speak to you and he's going to help you come up a level. And he's really going to start using you to minister to people in your circle.
Yeah. And one thing too about our YouTube channel, like our ministry here, our church, you know, we have all of our, you know, regular services and series, mm-hmm. but like we have a huge television ministry.
Yeah. Grace for Today.
And those series on there, we were looking at those on the playlist tab.
Yeah.
All those series. I'm like, this is pure discipleship.
It's like gold. Yeah.
It will really disciple people uh-huh. and help people on like really important topics. Some topics that like other pastors, other ministries wouldn't even touch.
Yeah.
And we just break it down, go through it.
It's
Pastor
really
Lawson
good. I actually started listening to him myself.
Is a phenomenal
really good.
Teacher.
Uh-huh.
Like even in our staff meeting, the first one, just with his immediate direct reports.
Oh, yeah.
He just goes off into teaching mode, you know,
like he can't help it.
The nitty gritty stuff.
Yeah. It's just and, who he is.
So there's a lot of really great in-depth.
Yeah. So
there.
Dive into that. Be sure to subscribe, follow this channel, share it with your friends, comment, let us know that you're watching this. If you have questions, you can put your questions in the comment section. We'll be sure to go through there and answer anything. And
you can also really contact our church here, our ministry here, if you need prayer. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really awesome. We're connected. We're not just an independent podcast, but we're connected to a really powerful church and ministry. Other people who love people, love God, who really minister a lot to me. Mm-hmm. You just when I walk through the door.
Yeah.
I'm just encouraged and uplifted.
I know, it's really awesome.
So if you just need to talk to someone, get prayer.
Mm-hmm. You can do that.
You can do that. We have people who just want to support what we're doing, but you can call in and make a donation.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it at one time thing or monthly thing. But I believe it's really good ground. I think we're going to keep reaching more and more
people. We just built how many churches in India?
Our ministry has actually built 80 churches in India.
That's amazing.
Christianity, the gospel is exploding around the world.
Yeah.
In India. We've partnered with the ministry. They know of all these kind of remote
places,
villages
that need a
where
church.
There's a body of believers and they need a physical church.
Yeah.
And the congregation comes up with 50% of the funds and we do the other 50% of the funds. Mm-hmm. So they're invested as well.
Yeah.
But we've built 80 churches in India.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're making an impact all over the world. Yeah. And so are you.
Yeah.
So awesome. I'm just going to pray. Can I pray?
Yeah.
Okay, Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this time that we could come together and we could just talk about your word and how good you are to us, Lord. And right now, I just pray for anyone who's struggling with unforgiveness. I just believe that right now they are drawing a line in the sand and they are deciding in their heart that they are going to forgive right now. They're going to forgive. And after this is over, you know, the enemy is going to try to come to you and say that you haven't forgiven. Look, you're still angry. You're still this. You're still that. And you can say, nope, forgiveness is a choice. And I'm choosing to forgive. And I believe that the grace of God is meeting you even right now. And he's empowering you to be able to love in ways that you've never loved before. And not only that, I believe that when you have forgiven today, that you are now in a place where you are allowing God to open up how much and show you how much he loves you, how much he cares about you, and how much he's taking care of your situation for you, that you don't have to be the justifier. You can let God do the work. And right now, I just thank you, God, that you are so good to us. We just thank you for Jesus. Thank you for taking our sickness, our poverty, our sin on the cross, Lord, so we don't have to take that. And we just thank you, God, for just being strong in us and being so good to us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We hope to see you again next time and have a blessed day.